For those I've not met before, I'm Bridget, and I'm vicar of this church in St. Peter's. And back in November, Henry, who's a member of our preaching team, did a sermon where he made some recommendations for our Christmas shopping. He recommended four books that we might wish to ask for or to give to others. And a couple of those books touched on all sorts of controversial contemporary issues. And there was a real sense, I think, from those of us who were here, that it was great to hear about some of the things that we're reading about in the newspaper and to know how we might respond as Christians. And so, as Tim said at the start, the idea over the coming weeks is that each week we're going to think about a topic, a contemporary issue, that some might find difficult or controversial or challenging, and just explore together what a Christian response might look like. And so this morning we're beginning by thinking about Christians, the Bible, and the modern world. It seems an obvious place to start. So that's why we're doing what we're doing. But why don't we just begin by praying together? Heavenly Father, as we think together this morning about the gift of your word and what it might mean to us, I pray that you'd come and speak to each of us, cause us to think again, to ask questions, and to receive from you. Amen. Every Friday, I take my day off, and one of the things that I love to do on my day off is to listen to my favourite radio programme, which is called Kermode and Mayo's Film Review. I don't know if there are any other people in the room. You're missing out, people. It's fantastic. I love films, so I'm always keen to hear what Mark, the film critic, has to say about the latest releases. Such is my devotion to the show that when Nick and I sit down on a Friday night to watch a film together, the process of choosing what to watch takes about the same length of time as the film itself, as I reprise each of Mark's reviews for the current films that are available, telling him why we absolutely must watch it because Mark says this, or why we really shouldn't watch it because Mark says this. I'm not even over-egging the pudding here. This is exactly what our Friday nights are like. Occasionally, of course, I disagree with Mark, but if I want to know what to watch, he is the authority that I go to. He's the voice that I listen to. I wonder, who are the voices that you listen to? Perhaps they're newspaper columnists, or sports pundits, bloggers or vloggers, health and fitness gurus, political leaders, or experts in their field. Many of us have people that we listen to, people whose voices of authority shape the way that we think and the choices that we make. As Christians, the voice that we listen to is the voice of God. And in order to hear the voice of God, the first place that many of us go to is the Bible. The Bible is our source of authority as believers. And what the Bible says shapes the way that we think and the choices that we make. The problem is, of course, that sometimes the Bible is hard to understand, and it doesn't always give us the answers that we're looking for. Sometimes it does have answers, but they're not the answers that we want to hear. And on occasion, the Bible can sound totally irrelevant, or worse still, there are parts of the Bible that sound oppressive and intolerant. So how are Christians today supposed to relate to the Bible? How can we hear the voice of God speaking through the scriptures? As I said a moment ago, today we're starting this new sermon series looking at contemporary issues. And over the next few weeks, we'll look at all sorts of difficult topics, things that Christians might disagree about. And so it seems to make sense to begin with the Bible and to think about how the Bible can help shape our thinking and shape our actions as we engage with some of these challenging topics. The topic of the Bible in the modern world is quite large. The collection of books I had on my desk to help me write the sermon was about this big, so I am really only beginning to scratch the surface in the context of this sermon. But perhaps a helpful place to start is to ask ourselves the question, why do we read the Bible? There are several answers that people might give to that question. We read the Bible because it's a work of great literature. In fact, English professors up and down the land have been lamenting the lack of biblical literacy amongst English students studying English literature. Because in order to understand the work of many great poets and writers, you need to understand the story of the Bible. So we read it because it is a great story. We also read the Bible because we want to learn. We want to learn about history that's covered in it. We want to learn about religion. We want to learn about who God is. Theology might be another word for that. We also read it because we're seeking wisdom on how to live, or perhaps seeking encouragement or hope. And perhaps most importantly of all, we read the Bible because we want to meet God in its pages. Over Christmas, we celebrated Christ coming into the world, and we've been reminded that God is fully revealed in the person of Jesus. If you want to see God, look at Jesus. And the place where we can most fully encounter the person of Jesus is in the Bible, in the Gospels. So people persevere with reading the Bible. People place value on the Bible because Jesus, God incarnate, is found in its pages. If that's why we read the Bible, then perhaps the next question you might ask is, how do we read the Bible? Probably one of the most famous scenes from Shakespeare is that balcony scene from Romeo and Juliet. Juliet stands on the balcony and she calls out, "O Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?" On first hearing it, it sounds as if she's asking where Romeo is. I remember as a kid thinking, "He's down below you, you muppet, just look over the edge of the balcony." But if you listen more closely, or if you're like me when I did A-level English, if you read the York notes, then you discover that she's asking, "Why are you called Romeo?" Or, "Why have I fallen for the wrong man?" Sometimes the meaning of what we read is plain. It is what it says it is on the page. But other times we need to read more carefully to make sure that we've understood the meaning correctly. And it's the same when it comes to the Bible. Christians through the ages have understood the Bible to be both human and divine, in that God speaks directly to us through the words of people in history. That means that in order to understand God's message to us, we need to understand the people that God chose to speak through. That means that we need to know the context in which the Bible was written, the time and the place and the culture. Just as some of the words that Shakespeare uses have different meanings today, some of the words that are used in the Bible meant something different in the context where they were first written and spoken. But we also need to understand the content of what's written. The Bible is a piece of great literature, and that means that it contains letters and parables, songs, sets of instruction and history. When we open it up, we need to understand what exactly we're reading. So once we've understood what it meant when it was first written, we can then begin to translate it into language and terms that make sense to us today in the modern world. At the end of December, I read several newspaper articles that were reviewing the events of 2016. I suspect many of us did the same thing. And one of the phrases that kept coming up in those articles was the phrase echo chamber. I wonder if you came across it. It was getting at the idea that many people are living in a bubble where their own views are reinforced and unquestioned, and so they don't hear other views. They were using that phrase echo chamber in the context of why people were so surprised at the Brexit vote, basically saying people were really shocked because they didn't realise that people out there in the rest of the nation think differently from the way that they think. When it comes to reading the Bible, one of the dangers is that when we translate the Bible into our own context, we do so in such a way that we hear what we want to hear, and that we do so in such a way that it reinforces what we already think. And the risk of that is that we might end up missing what God has to say. So I want to offer a way of interpreting the Bible that I think is particularly helpful when it comes to listening out for God's voice and being open to hear God saying that hearing God say something we might not expect. About 500 years ago, a Church of England priest and theologian called Richard Hooker came up with an idea to help people understand the Bible in their own time, and that was 500 years ago, and as well as guarding against very subjective readings of the Bible to make sure they weren't just reading into it what they wanted to hear. And Richard Hooker argued that there are three sources of authority for Christians. That means there are three voices that we ought to be listening to. First of all, and most importantly, there's the Bible, and then there's tradition, and then there's reason. I've already said a bit about the Bible and why we read it, so let's look at tradition and reason. Tradition acts as a guide to help us understand the Bible. It makes us ask the question, how has the Bible been understood through history? What has it traditionally meant? Tradition means you can't just ignore how the Bible's been interpreted for the last 2,000 years because it doesn't quite fit with how we think today. It means you have to give regard to what it's meant for some time. But then we've got reason. Reason acts as a guide to how the Bible should be interpreted today. It helps you to discern the difference between a message that's eternal, that God has spoken, that stands forever, and a message that's particular, that's spoken to a particular group of people in a particular place at a particular time. Reason means you can't just open the Bible and say, well, this must be right or this must be wrong because the Bible says so here in black and white. Reason says you have to then be able to explain why that still matters today, what that means today. And people sometimes call these three things, scripture, tradition, and reason, the three pillars of Anglicanism. And I find for me that they act as a safeguard to stop me hearing what I want to hear. And also those three things, scripture, tradition, and reason, expose me to interpretations of the Bible that I might not otherwise hear. And in fact, within the Church of England, different types of churches put different emphases on these three areas, which is why within the C of E, we have such a wide range of views about what God might be saying, because we put different emphasis on those three different things. Just a sort of lived example of what that looks like in practice. Some churches still believe that women shouldn't be vicars. Why? Because that's what people believed for hundreds of years. That's how the Bible has traditionally been interpreted. And so there's weight and value placed on that tradition to say, we don't feel we can overturn hundreds and hundreds of years when we believe this. And yet other churches do believe women can be vicars. We do here, hence I'm here. And they believe that because of their critical reflection on the roles of women in the Bible, on the way that God speaks of women in the Bible, and also on their critical reflection on the place that women hold in society today. And those critical reflections have led those churches to believe that it is within the will of God for women to be vicars. You can see how, on that basis, you can hear a variety of things from the Bible and how scripture, tradition, and reason make you listen for things that you might not otherwise want to hear. Of course, I don't want to hear that women can't be vicars, but I have to give weight and validity to those who do hold that view. I have to listen carefully and listen for what the voice of God might be saying. There will always be parts of the Bible that we struggle to make sense of, and there will always be parts of the Bible that we see differently from one another within this building, that we see differently from other churches down the road. And that's partly why we're doing this sermon series, I think, because sometimes the answers aren't immediately obvious, but there is something about recognising that spectrum of views that we hold as Christians. Before I watch a film on a Friday night, I want to know what film critic Mark Kermode thinks of it. And as I try and navigate my way through life in the modern world, I want to know what God thinks about it. Or I want to get as close as I can to what God might think about it. So as I reflect on the news this week, of course I want to know what God thinks about Donald Trump, for goodness sake. I mean, what does God think about Donald Trump and about the way that he treats truth? What does God think about the NHS and the way we do or don't fund the NHS? What does God think about social media? Is it a waste of time, or is it something that's actually really important that people are having genuine human connection through? What does God think about the issue of gender fluidity? The fact that so many young people in schools now are dressing in clothes with the gender that they identify with, which is different from the gender that they are born with. I'm not sure I have any answers to those things, but I'm hearing about them every single week, and I want to know what God thinks. And the place that I am driven to go to first and foremost is the Bible, because I still believe that God can speak words of life and truth to us today through the Bible if we're prepared to listen. And I'm excited to be exposed to other ways of thinking and to have God challenge me to hear what he's saying to me and saying to us as church and saying to our world. So I hope over the next few weeks that you'll find it stimulating. We won't have all the answers. It will be hard work preparing the sermons. But I'm looking forward. We've got a sermon on post-truth. We've got a sermon on relating to other faiths. We've got a sermon on difficult relationships, all sorts of things coming up. so I hope there'll be plenty of food for thought. And seeing it as none of you listen to the Kermode and Mayo film review show, you won't get my last in-joke from the show, which is hello to Jason Isaacs. Amen.